Hello and welcome to In Business Talks 2, a weekly podcast about people who work together as a couple. Learn the secrets of business partnerships, the benefits and pitfalls of working together. Be it husband and wife, father and son, mother and daughter, friends, relatives, or any other combination of business partnerships. We are your hosts, Tracy and Ian Earle, founders of In Business, a networking and business support community. And together, we are In Business.
As well as speaking with other couples, we'll let you know of any useful business apps and websites out there that our members have come across and shared with us in our regular weekly online meetings. Plus, we'll tell you about our special bonus episode coming up this Friday, our Friday Fix. So be sure to listen all the way through to the end to find out more. So without further ado, let's crack on with In Business Talks 2.
Now it's time to welcome our guests this week. We have Karen and Callum, mother and son of Creative Ink Agency. So it's a big welcome to you both and thank you both for joining us.
Thank you guys for joining us today. Good to see you.
Thank you. Yes.
So I'll start by asking, what is it that you guys do? Tell us a bit about what you do.
Yes, we actually create and design accessible websites that can be used by everyone, including disabled and impaired people. And we also train other web agencies in doing so and other in-house digital departments and web developers. So we are actually an accessible website design, development and consultancy service.
Mm. All right, okay. That's quite a niche market, I would think. I've not heard of anybody that does that. Have you?
How did you get into that then? How did you end up going down that road then? What prompted that direction?
So basically, all of my life. Well, I should give you some context first. So I'm autistic, as you well know, and after I graduated university, I went into a job. And I only lasted 3 weeks there because my employer wasn't willing to make the necessary adjustments for me. That's how it all started, really. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of giving me the idea to start Creative Ink, what I wanted to do is, rather than think of this as another setback due to my autism, I wanted to turn this experience into a positive. But yeah, what my ideology behind starting the business was to make the internet more accessible for everybody, including people with disabilities, impairments, situational limitations, to make the necessary adjustments for people to access the web, essentially.
Yeah. To give you an example, because web accessibility is just such a sort of a broad term, and also people just usually get web accessibility and then they think, I don't understand that, I don't want to know. So we are trying to make it more personal and tangible by actually firstly showing Callum's difficulties as an autistic person with the web, which is that he cannot read huge blocks of text. There are certain fonts he struggles with, also color contrasts, if they're not strong enough, or reading, you know, like black text on a white background can be a struggle. And also if there's too much on a website and it's really cluttered, then Callum would give up on it and click away from it.
Well, it like becomes overwhelming, does it, when you see that Callum like that? Is it? Yeah.
It does. What I basically do is I scroll down a page and see the amount of text that there is. And firstly, that's overwhelming. And then secondly, I can only read a certain amount of text for a limited amount of time.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
So that is neurodivergent. A lot of neurodivergent people, which are people with autism, dyslexia, dyspraxia, ADHD, just to name a few, they have that kind of problem with websites, and not many people know that. But then obviously we shouldn't forget blind people, hearing impaired people, physically impaired people, and they have special access needs as well. Let's say, just to give you an example, with the blind people, they use screen readers as assistive technology to get onto a website. Unfortunately, in the UK, 70% of websites are inaccessible. That means they are actually not compatible with assistive technology or give in to the special access needs that don't accommodate them. And so we develop websites that can talk to assistive technology that is compatible, and then also websites that are laid out and structured so that they are, you know, friendly to people that are cognitively on neurologically impaired, and also with hearing impaired people, they need more. That they cannot just give, if you give them a telephone number to contact you, they can't do with that. They need, you know, like certain contact, you know, details that they can deal with. And these are just very, very few examples of an accessible website. So most people don't think about them.
Well, that's the thing. They don't know really where to start, because the documentation that is currently out there for website accessibility is not really that accessible for the general public or for developers altogether, really. So they don't know where to start, and they don't have this desire to get into it, which is what we want to change.
Yeah. The problem is as well that there is, so far, there hasn't really been a market for it because nobody knows about it. Once businesses get to know that actually they are ignoring potentially 1 in 5 of their customers if they have an inaccessible website, and that businesses on average lose £17.1 billion in the UK alone by people clicking away from a website that they cannot use, then they start to listen. But nobody really is shouting loud enough about that. And so not many people know about it. And that's what you're wanting to change.
And that's what you're trying to do now, is that what you guys are trying to achieve?
Also, a lot of freelance web developers and agencies treat web accessibility as a tick box exercise. Whereas what we're trying to do is we're trying to change the thinking in terms of making it a general requirement.
Something that is desired rather than
something that most people who are building a website should consider, really.
Absolutely.
Everybody should consider it, it should be a matter of course, shouldn't it?
And the thing is, a lot of people think it's very expensive, but if you design a website with accessibility in mind and the person who's designing it knows what to look out for, it's not more expensive than designing a normal website that is out there at the moment. And that's what we're trying to make people understand as well, because Callum knows exactly what to look out for. He designs websites, and then, because he's a developer as well, he develops them with the accessible code. And what we can do as well is Callum designs a website that is accessible in its design, and then annotates it with guidance notes for the developer.
Well, I basically give the developers the code of what we need to put in to make it accessible.
That's another service that we do. But at the same time, the developer gets trained in accessibility because he or she can see what needs to be done actually to make this website accessible.
So you're actually helping the developer at the same time by what you're doing, aren't you? Doing that, you're giving them the knowledge and the skills to be able to do it themselves, aren't you?
Because we have a mission and a vision to make the UK digitally inclusive by 2025. Wow. And we can't do that on our own. Karen and Callum alone can't do that. That's why we want to train other people on how to do it and show them that it's actually not that difficult to learn so that we can achieve that.
We know a couple of website guys, so we'll put you in touch. You might already know them, but we'll get you to connect with them. So anyway, whose idea was it to go into business, and how long has the business been going?
It was my idea, and the reason why is because what I explained earlier, where all of my life I've struggled with my autism, and I've always turned bad experiences into a positive. I'm really creating this business was just one of those, really, where I wanted to change a bad situation to a positive situation.
I think for us, we started in July 2019, and that was just after Callum had lost his job. Mm-hmm. And that was really to not to be bitter about it, but to see what was missing and why this has happened. Mm-hmm. And so we decided the best way of doing that, or Callum came with the idea and said, look, if we start our own company and lead by example and show people that with reasonable adjustments in a team, you can actually achieve great things and take the fear of the unknown out of it. And that's what we've really been doing.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose it's well, not nice, but it's good in the way that you were able to turn something from bad into a super positive, because look at the difference now potentially you can make. I mean, if you just stayed in your job, shall we say, you would maybe never have made the difference that you're now about to make. So it's amazing, isn't it, how sometimes sort of adversity can be turned into positivity, isn't it? Which is brilliant, which is good.
It's just crazy, guys, how it's all developed over the last 18 months. It really is.
And what are your individual strengths then that you bring to the business?
So I'm the web designer and developer, and I bring the strength of what I studied at university, which also had web development, graphic design, so forth. So I bring my knowledge and skills there to the business. Really, to put it into one word, I'm the implementer. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And Callum always calls me front of house.
So basically, I'm kind of the backbone of the business, and you're front of house.
That's right, yes. I'm the front end, he's the back end in web developer speak.
So are your roles then more, you're sort of in the marketing then and things, Karen, and the promotion of the business, and Callum, you're beavering away in the background, making sure everything's working and doing everything it should be doing.
That's correct.
I worked in a corporate environment for 16 years as an operations manager. And then following redundancy, I sort of set up my own businesses and supported Callum at the same time through school because he needed me at that time. So I worked part-time in my own businesses. And then I have a marketing background as well. I do a lot of the marketing in our business, sales, but also the operational bit, whereas Callum is very structured. He's structured and creative, really. So it's a great combination.
Good combination.
And so he is doing also our business development because he's the innovator in our business. He always comes up with new things.
I really use my structure to my advantage there, I have to say, in terms of the business development.
That's right. Yeah. But also he always comes up, that is Callum's strength. If anything like COVID really affected us last year in March, April and May, and we had some terrible months, and Callum, rather than being down and saying, oh, we're giving up, he immediately rethought the business model.
It was back to the drawing board.
And so we started thinking in a completely different way and from a different perspective, and actually saw it as a positive that this has happened, because then we could develop as a company into a different direction, which was brilliant.
And that's where the idea of the accessibility came up.
Yeah.
We had an idea in our heads beforehand, but again, we were like everybody else. We didn't know where to start, basically.
So I suppose my next question was going to be, what's the best part of the business so far? And then the following question was going to be, what's the worst part? So I suppose the worst part you've probably already mentioned there.
So you had to pivot then last year, basically, like a lot of other businesses, haven't you? You had to rethink your business. That's happened a lot, hasn't it? I mean, we did the same, didn't we? We had to change our model of our business, didn't we? You know, going online and things with people, which we hadn't before. It was a face-to-face networking group. So it's amazing how many businesses have pivoted and taken advantage, which is good. It sounds like you guys have done the same there, which is pretty
Yeah. I think it turns out, you know, like if you are truly entrepreneurial, things like that don't really scare you because you just take it as an opportunity, don't you, to develop, really.
Yeah. You mentioned a bit about a vision and goals. What is your vision for the business going forward? Are you want it to be global, UK wide? What is it that you want to do as a business? How far do you want to take it?
Well, okay. I think that we're mainly envisioning to be well known in the UK.
Yeah.
But also like in the US as well.
Like what you hear so far? Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe or follow. This podcast is made possible because of listeners like you. So thank you. We really appreciate your support. Now back to the show.
There's a big market in the US for
possibility.
Yeah. We do work already with US partners, and which is very, very good. But really, I mean, when we go away from national or international, one of our goals is that we grow into a company, into an agency, doing the same services, maybe adding a few, but that can employ neurodivergent people and neurotypical people that actually work together and complement each other, because that is what it is about. In a truly neurodiverse world, we just accept our differences and actually embrace them rather than thinking, oh, this is weird, you know, like, no, you're a hindrance, but actually seeing, you know, like the advantages that somebody like Callum can bring to a business if, you know, you actually put him or her, whoever it is, together with somebody who's got complementing skills. And I think what we have achieved in 18 months is tremendous. And we could achieve that because we are complementing each other so well.
Speaking of which, do you, obviously there must be times when you have, shall we say, disagreements.
Yes.
I assume you do have them like everybody else does. How do you resolve those? How do you get around them?
Sorry, Callum, I didn't hear
what
you
said. Say again.
I just said won't be human if we didn't have disagreements.
No,
true.
Right. I'm always very suspicious of people that say they don't have any disagreements.
So how do you get around them? What do? You sit and talk through them?
Well, we banter first, and then...
Not so much anymore. No. maybe in the past a bit, but we've kind of learned not to bankers.
I mean, usually Callum and I are both we're very similar in that we cannot hold grudges, we cannot be cross with anybody for long, and then we always talk, and I think that is so important. We may be cross with each other for 5 minutes,
and
then we come together and we talk it out, and there's usually never that much to talk about because both say, actually, you were right in that. And then the other one says, and you were right in that.
We'll just move on, basically.
And do you think that's different if you were in a, because you're mother and son in a business together, do you think the dynamics would be different if you were just business partners?
I don't think we could be as honest with each of us as what we are.
I think it's definitely an advantage because we can be really brutally honest with each other. And Callum very, very openly tells me when I really get on his nerves.
Right.
That's fine. You know, you can't really do that with a business partner.
No, you couldn't. No.
No, you couldn't.
But the dynamics are different.
It's an advantage because I don't know when I get on. Okay, I can read his mannerisms. But specifically told what it is that annoys him, I think is good because then you can change, can't you?
I agree
totally.
And in your downtime, do you guys tend to think you're you talk about the business as well? Do you have a cut off? Do you say, right, it's Friday night, it's 5 o'clock, we'll stop thinking about the business, we'll do whatever we're going to do over the weekend? Or do you find you constantly, a bit like we do, things keep popping into your head and you end up having a conversation at all sorts of times about the business? Is that similar to what happens with you guys, or do you have a definite cut off point?
I have to say, Barry, and I'm the instigator in terms of saying, look, it's a weekend, I don't want to talk about work, this is my time to switch off. But yeah, I mean, sometimes conversations crop up about the business during the weekend, but really only when it's necessary.
I think that were one of the irritations Callum had with me, because I all of a sudden I had an idea and I went, oh, what do you think of that? And he says, you know, I'm watching this film, or I'm in the middle of doing that. Can you just stop it? And so that was one of the one of the things, and it's fine, because you know, I changed, and now if I have an idea that I think is great, I write it down. And then I bring it up, you know, like on Monday.
I feel your pain there, Callum. I feel your pain. That happens to me when I'm watching a good movie. Somebody will start saying I'm bored or what about? I think, well, hang on, I'm not bored. I'm watching this. But I know, I've got you.
Yeah, you're just not in business mode anymore.
No. You just switch off, don't you?
Maybe that's a man thing.
Yeah, maybe it is. Question. What's the best thing about being in business together then? What is the really best thing about being in business together?
I think because we care about each other so much. And I think that is a really big advantage, because when you are in business, sometimes, you know, like you want to drive your business forward and you can forget about the sort of personal side of it all, I think. And because we care so much for each other, we do make compromises, and we move at a speed that is comfortable.
That suits us.
That suits us. And I think that is the best thing. And that you know, if one, I'm so impatient. I'm a terribly impatient person. Callum is very, very patient. So that sometimes we clash there, but because we care so much for each other, we can make compromises, and I think that is the best thing.
I'm a bit like that. I can relate to you here, Callum, really. I can. You're describing me.
And I'm very impatient. I want things done like now. If you could start all over again, would you do the same thing? You'd still go into business together?
100%.
100%. Yes.
Good. That's good. Good.
And do you have any tips or advice that you would give somebody thinking of going into business with their mother, father, daughter, son?
Daughter. Yeah. As a family thing, what advice would you give about running a business together? If we said to you now, we're gonna start a business, what would your advice be to us?
I think the best thing to see whether you have complementing skills. Then to, you know, like, because it took us quite a while. I mean, we knew we had complementing skills, but
to figure out how we complemented each other.
Yeah, how we can work in the best way. And I think we could have avoided a lot of, you know, pain if we would have maybe sat down right from the start and said, well, really think about what are you good at and what do you want to be in this business, rather than sort of, no, we didn't wrangle for positions. No. But we both tried to do everything at one point. And I would say that people should be very, very honest with each other and just say, look, I'm really not good at that. It would be great if you could do that. And then to have an open conversation about that. And sort of, and if things are not working out as, you know, you had it, then just change, adapt, and say, right, okay, this hasn't worked out, but we can make compromises. And I think that is really, really important to really, you know, sit down and see, what am I good at and what do I bring to this business?
I agree 100%.
Because if you have expectations of somebody without discussing it, and they don't meet those expectations, then it's just going to cause problems, isn't it?
Exactly.
And, you know.
What's been the biggest high of your 18 months so far then? What's been the best thing? What has been the, you know, what's been your greatest moment over the last 18 months?
Every client that we sign on, we are just totally, we just absolutely love it. And we are actually careful who we are side who we are taking on as clients, because it needs to be the right thing for us and for them. Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't work out, because we have certain...
I mean, what we really prefer is for it to be a team effort between us and the client, rather than being a business client type of relationship.
Yeah, but I think the high is that we have found the right client so far.
Yeah, we have.
And,
yeah.
And they've all been absolutely fantastic. And I think that is the high for us, that everybody has also accepted making reasonable adjustments for Callum as an autistic person, which... one of the big things is time anxiety. So we don't give deadlines. We don't say we're working to deadlines. We're working as fast as we can. And we always produce in the time that they expected. Always make clear that the expectations of our clients are right and our expectations are right of our clients. And that is really important. And so far, touch wood, we've sort of... got it right, haven't we? We've got some wonderful clients.
We do, yeah.
Oh, brilliant.
Sounds like you've got a really good business there, guys. It sounds like you're really doing something different.
And making a difference.
You're making a difference, which is impressive. Yeah, well done. Yeah, it's good.
Oh, I should say one of the biggest things is that our marketing efforts are really, paying off because clients are actually, people are coming to us now, requesting our services, asking about our services, and that is wonderful because it shows that it's working what we're doing.
And do you plan to grow it then into be more than two of you, or are you going to keep it all right?
Well, you're only young, Callum. You can got all the world ahead of you, haven't you?
I do, exciting times ahead.
So the making the websites accessible, does that help? Just this is, I mean, I'll probably cut this out because I'll probably sound really stupid. Does it help with SEO?
Yes.
Because
the best practice for accessible is also very, very similar to the best practice of SEO. And Google will always favor a website that is easy to use. And that has a good user experience, which is called UX, stands for user experience. Yeah. So if you have an accessible website, you are more likely to rank higher with Google,
Interesting. So it's definitely worth doing on every front, isn't it?
Don't worry about it,
I'm not that tech savvy, and SEO is a bit of a,
Well, for both of us, really.
Minefield.
It is a very technical subject.
It is.
But
basically, if you have a website that says very, very clearly what it is you do, what you want to, the information that you want to actually portray on your website, if it is very easy from the layout to move around so that people can quickly click on links and call to actions to get to wherever they want to, and if it is very, very, laid out very easily, as always, new information that is very easily to understand, then you will eventually rank very well on Google. But SEO is never a quick thing.
It's
continuous.
Yeah.
And accessibility is as well. Accessibility, like Callum said before, is not a tick box exercise. It's a process. And it's also a conversation and an openness and a willingness to accommodate people with special access needs. And for that, you have an accessibility statement on your website, which says, we have tried to make this website accessible as much as we can. If you cannot get around certain things, please contact us. Here are our contact details. So being open to supply a solution.
Sounds really good, doesn't it?
I mean,
I'm impressed.
I didn't know what I was expecting. I just, don't get me wrong, I just thought you would be another website designer, website creators.
But you're far more than that, aren't you? Sounds like you're on a mission as well, guys, which is even better still, isn't it? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm glad you see it like that, because that's how we want to come across.
Yeah, that's exactly how you come across. Yeah, no, it's perfect. No, perfect.
Mm-hmm. If one of you gets a bit down about something or upset about something, what do you do? What does the other one do?
So basically, we just talk, and because we know each other so well, we can just make each other feel so much better.
I mean, as an autistic person, Callum's emotions are like a roller coaster, and I know exactly how to get him back up and how to reassure him, and that is great, but Callum also knows me so well, and he can tell, I can pretend that I'm not worried about something, but Callum knows that I'm worried about something, and he goes, come on, Mum, what is it? What is it? And I said, nothing. No, tell me. And then I tell him, and we talk about it, and he always brings me back up. So it's mutual, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you think then that being in business together has strengthened your relationship as mother and son, or has it made it a stronger bond? Has it changed a bit? Or what's different or not different? Or?
No, I wouldn't say so, because I mean we're so used to working together. Like my mum supported me through school and through university. It's not really changed anything, I'd say.
I wouldn't say that. No, it's because
You've already got the strength in the relationship.
Definitely. And we both have great respect for each other and for what we can do, you know, for our skills and our characters and what we can, what we bring to the business, you know, how we see life. And I think that is a really big part of it as well, having respect for each other.
So we'd just like to say a big thank you to Karen and Callum for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, guys. It's been really nice to meet you, and really good to have been a really good chat. I've enjoyed the conversation.
It was nice to meet you, and thank you for inviting us as well.
Thank you so much. It's been great.
You're welcome. It's great to hear about your business.
Yeah, and good luck with the future, and I hope you take over the world, Callum.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, fingers crossed.
Thank you so much.
And now we come to our knowledge share. And the knowledge share for this week is what, Tracy?
So our knowledge share for this week is footprint.wwf.org.uk. And it's a carbon footprint calculator. It's looking at how big your environmental footprint is. You can take a questionnaire to see what impact you're having on the world and where you can make changes to improve. We'll also put the details in the show notes.
Wow, another great share. Get in touch and let us know if you try it and what you think.
So we're almost at the end of this week's episode, but before we go, we're excited to tell you about our bonus episode this Friday. It's the Friday Fix, where we will be discussing a business-related subject with a fellow business owner who will be sharing their advice, thoughts, or knowledge on a particular topic. This week's episode is called What's the Value of the Advice of an Insurance Broker? So tune in to find out more.
Our special guests on next week's podcast are Lisa and Adrian Wales of LPD Associates Limited. We're really looking forward to speaking to them and digging deep into their experiences as a business couple. Also, if you'd like to join us at one of our online networking meetings, the link's in the show notes below. Thanks so much for joining us this week on In Business Talks 2. We hope you've enjoyed it. And if you have, all we ask is that you simply tell a friend about the show. We'd really appreciate it. Until next time. This is Ian and Tracy, and together
we are in business.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.